Joinha. And Mr. Mack is rejoining the meeting now. And we'll move on to item seven. Item number seven is case number CPC-2023-1637-SP and environmental case BND-2023-1638-CB. So the current Galanga Boulevard for this plan is located within conflict with District 3 and 4. At this time, we will hear from you back.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Courtney Schulmold. I'm here with the Valley Overlay Amendment Unit, which is part of the Community Planning Division with the City Planning Department. I'm here today to present to you the proposed Ventura Galanga Boulevard Corridor Specific Plan Amendment. Before we go into the amendments, I'm going to give some background on the Planning Department's efforts up to this point. And it really began in 2017 when the LA City Council introduced a motion to direct the department to report on what options the planning department had to update this specific plan. That report was prepared in 2018, and in 2018 the council reviewed it. And then in 2019 they selected an option and instructed the planning department to start working on this amendment. In 2020, we hosted an in-person open house, which was our last event in person prior to the pandemic. And then in August of 2021, part of our work program, the rezoning portion, moved to the community plan teams who are updating the community plans that surround the Ventura corridor, both in the Southwest and Southeast Valley areas. So what brings us here today is the most recent motion from the council office that was made earlier this year. This is the motion that directed the department to separate and expedite certain portions of the amendment program. So while the specific plan has been amended in the past, this amendment aims to address some of the issues that still exist. There are a few main components to this. The first is the streamlining of signage review that is meant to be more business friendly, because the current process for sign review is costly and burdensome for businesses. And the specific plan exists in part to ensure that the Ventura Boulevard corridor remains the premier commercial corridor in the valley. Second, we're updating the section pertaining to the specific plan review board. As a result of the 2020 redistricting process, the plan review board was reduced in size so that not all communities in the corridor are currently represented. Relatedly, while the Cahuenga Pass has long established itself as its own district, it is in fact a separate community from Studio City, and the specific plan does not recognize that. But really our goal was to ensure that the appointment process for the plan review board has a more equitable community representation and membership diversity. And another issue with this board is that sometimes the roles between the departments are unclear. So we are working to clarify that. And the other thing we're doing is updating the plan to reflect recently adopted ordinances. We fixed typos, updated code references to other chapters of the codes that were incorrect. And lastly, the associated maps that are associated with the plan are out of date and have errors. So we are correcting that and making them more legible. So with that, we're going to delve into the proposed amendments we're going to review. We're going to begin by discussing what we consider to be the main part of our amendment, which is sign review streamlining. This is perhaps the most important component that we can have for this amendment for the businesses and the community. Recognizing that signs have been an issue for years from the beginning of our work program, multiple groups, the council office, the plan review board, and members of the business community have been asking the planning department to look into improving the sign application process. The current process is discretionary and not administrative, also known as ministerial, and the specific plan requires any signage, whether it's a simple wall sign for business identification or a window sign, to file a case with our department. We're proposing instead an administrative review process similar to the Westwood specific plan that was before this commission not that long ago. Time-wise, this discretionary process can take several months from a business filing for review to getting approval, whereas this administrative process is intended to be more of a counter sign-off, which is much faster and should take days or weeks to process. It should also be noted that the current process is appealable. So even after the department issues a letter of determination approving the sign, the applicant has to wait for the appeal period to close before they can proceed. Changing this action to be a ministerial approval instead of discretionary makes it not appealable. This eliminates the further time delay for the applicant and makes the approval more predictable for applicants. The cost difference between these processes is also significant. The current process is very expensive. It runs about $6,000 in total compared to the administrative process, which is less than $500. So not only is this process time-saving for businesses, it's also cost-saving for them as well. This change does still require that all signs comply with the regulations of the plan, but there's another part that we're also amending to help this make this more business friendly, and that is the sign area calculation. Currently, multi-tenant business shopping centers have to research all of the signs for all of the tenants on that site to find out how much area is there and figure out what area is left for them, because the plan defines the sign area calculation based off of something called lot frontage. This amendment would require that tenants calculate their own tenant frontage for their sign, and so that it would be easier for them to do their calculations. The current process has caused a lot of businesses to either erect signs illegally or use other types of signs that are more temporary, like banners or A-frames. So by making this process easier, we anticipate the amendment will encourage better compliance with our codes. In addition, this current process is not just burdensome for the applicant. Processing cases for signs also puts a strain on staff resources as well, especially at a time when staff is expected to meet expedited timelines for housing projects. Sign cases can take a long time to be completed. So this new process will be a more efficient use of staff resources and time, as the administrative review is less time consuming. We've heard from a lot of businesses that the current process is burdensome, time consuming, and expensive. Ventura Boulevard has many multi-tenant shopping centers where multiple businesses operate in the same structure. If a new tenant wants to install a new sign, the current provisions where they have to go and research all the permits on the entire site to find what's left for them is very time consuming and burdensome for them. So this new amendment, which has a base their area off of their tenant frontage, is much more proportional to their request. And it guarantees each a business to have the ability to put up a sign for themselves proportional to their frontage, which is much more business friendly. The impact of making this work more administrative instead of discretionary will also, as we said, benefit these businesses by speeding up the processing times and lowering the fees by thousands of dollars. This is especially important in light of the continuing impacts of market trends and the COVID-19 pandemic. The proposed amendment is also responsive to Mayor's Executive Directive Number 4, which directs the entire city to identify ways to support small businesses through lowering fees and streamlining processes. So now we're going to move on to our proposed changes for the Ventura Cahuenga Plan Review Board. You will likely hear a lot of public comments about this topic today, and you may not be very familiar with this board. It is unique in the city and is not defined outside the specific plan. As a quick primer, the board is a recommendation board that recommends on specific plan amendments, exceptions, and proposed right-of-way improvements to ensure that the transportation goals of the plan are met. A majority of their work deals with reviewing recommendations on how the transportation fund should go towards these right-of-way improvements. Currently, each council office in the specific plan area is given two appointees on the board, regardless of the size of the district or where the district is located. We are proposing, not where they're located, but where the boundaries are. We are proposing that instead there be one appointee per community within the specific plan area who would be appointed by the corresponding council member. Each 10 years, the council offices are redistricted. This redistricting can expand or contract the council member's boundary, which for a plan that has a set land area, the council appointments can cause issues for representation. Appointing instead by community would have a stable community representation, regardless of where the council office goes in the future. And also by having a set number of members, the size of the board would be stable and stay the same size. The proposal would also mean that every community would have a designated voice on the board. We want to ensure that there's also a designated corridor-wide voice on the board, so we're maintaining the provision that one member of the board be appointed by the mayor's office. It should be noted that the Mulholland Design Review Board, which is longer and has a bigger area, also has a mayor's appointment. So to reiterate, our proposal retains the provisions which assign the appointing authority to the corresponding council office, and the proposal is for a 7-member board, where a member would be appointed for each of the 6 communities on the corridor and one that's corridor-wide. However, as we've noted, this is probably the one you're going to hear the most comments on, so we're going to delve a little bit more into this proposal. Prior to crafting our proposal, we did research all the various boards and commissions that the department works with. We found that most boards are smaller in size, usually ranging from 5 to 7 members, which we'll talk about in a little bit. With our research, we consistently found the larger the board, the more difficulty there is in meeting quorum, and with more members needing to speak, the longer meetings there are. Further, when we looked into the administration of these larger boards, we noted that the strain on staff resources was greater in time as well. After considering different factors that could lead to how many members, we looked at length of community, population of community. We've landed on proposing that the plan review board have 7 members based on each community, 1 per community, which would be enough for each of these 6 communities to have 1 representative, and then again, the 1 corridor wide one. We'll also note that in our research, that when we look at the geography that some of these boards cover, we can see that the proportion of members is commensurate with what some of the other boards and commissions that exist in the city. For example, the Mulholland Design Review Board, which oversees a longer corridor and a bigger area, is set to 7 members. The area planning commissions have a much larger area that they cover and has only 5. And of course, this commission, the City Planning Commission, which oversees the entire city, has a commission of 9. Based on our research, we think that 7 members would ensure that each of the 6 communities have the representative, and that that 7th member would be the corridor-wide representative. We've also researched who should be the appointing authority for the board. We consider the plan review board's proposal to have neighborhood council members appoint members directly to the board. And while this would offer neighborhood councils another opportunity to opine on issues on the boulevard, we found that it came with several drawbacks. In the event that a neighborhood council appoints a member of the board, there'd be no clear point of contact for the planning department to work with if issues arise around that member's conduct or if the member isn't meeting attendance requirements. Furthermore, it'd be more difficult to meet the term limit requirements in appointing new members because the neighborhood councils only meet as a complete board once a month. And the neighborhood council compositions can change when members with member turnover. In addition, the plan review board has made a motion to allow neighborhood councils to provide feedback for local projects, such as specific plan exceptions that the board would hear already. And neighborhood councils have historically given input to the board as a matter of board procedure. Their positions on board projects are always taken into account as part of the discussion when the board members have a topic before them. So lastly, the incorporation of neighborhood councils as appointing authority would place the plan review board out of line with any other board or commission that the department oversees, leaving the department with no precedent and no best practices to consult. We therefore recommend retaining the provisions of the plan, which designate the council office and mayor's offices as appointing authorities. In addition, the motion from the council office also asked the department to promote membership diversity. We've included some guidance with that to the proposed ordinance to that end. We've added language that recommends that residents, employees, volunteers, and people who have lived experience dealing with accessibility issues and alternative modes of transportation are considered for the board. Given that the specific plan deals with transportation and mobility issues, we felt that those with experience in those areas would contribute meaningful context and perspective. We believe this proposal strikes a balance between ensuring that the board hears from a variety of voices and making sure that the appointee process is not overly difficult. Staff has also considered the plan review board's proposal for the elimination of term limits. The main argument has been that the members serve as a foundation for historic knowledge on the board, and that a lengthy term of service is the only way for the members to be informed and effective. However, this very reliance on individuals to preserve the history makes the board vulnerable if a member has to depart suddenly. All that knowledge that the individual would have had would be completely lost to the community at large. Thus, the proposed ordinance contains provisions that meetings are to be recorded, which would address the issue. With appropriate recordation and proper training, the knowledge the board members have should be preserved, and new members would be better equipped to carry on any issues that affect the boulevard. In addition, the department has been specifically instructed to include provisions which would create a more diverse board. The elimination of term limits, if implemented today, would go against this diversification as it would preclude new members from serving in the future and would make it harder to recruit new members who have no specified time limit that they would commit to serving. For this and other best practice reasons detailed in our staff report, we recommend retaining term limits for the board members. We've also proposed the existing 8-year term limit include non-consecutive terms of service. We've called out that the planning department needs to maintain these membership terms and that they would need to notify both the members themselves and the council offices of upcoming board member term expirations to help this transition. The department has also proposed some changes to improve the administration of the board meetings. As stated previously, planning will notify term limits about term limits ending, tracking and maintaining records, as well as recordation of meetings, which will help with transparency. The amendment process proposes that right-of-way expenditure proposals be prepared and records kept by the Department of Transportation. It's been critical that all parties have an equal opportunity to understand the rationale for decisions that the city makes, especially when it comes to recommendation for the expenditure of public funds. So in summary, not only does the proposal clarify steps for more transparent administration, it also clarifies the role between the two departments that administer this plan, which is planning and the Department of Transportation. So in addition to the signage and plan review board updates, our amendment would also update the plan to reflect the changes adopted through the new processes and procedures ordinance and update street nomenclature to align with the provisions of the adopted Mobility Plan 2035. We've corrected typos and code citations to other chapters of the code, such as the sign code or building code throughout the plan because those references were wrong. In addition, as we've noted, Cahuenga Pass is a community separate from Studio City. So we've updated our maps and the language of the plan to reflect that. Older maps had errors. Older maps had errors that were part of the graphics rendering of the maps. And we now have our GIS system mapping all of our properties. So the maps have been corrected to include all the properties that are properly notated as part of the specific plan and removing all those that were removed, such as what's shown here, which is a Tarzana hospital complex that was removed from the specific plan in 2018. The updated maps have been consolidated so the sub areas on the same page, and the language of the plan has been updated to reference these new maps. It's important to emphasize that throughout this specific plan amendment process, we've kept in mind who we are serving as well as what purpose is served. If we think about two questions, for whom and to what end, we can think about the businesses along the corridor and that this amendment is going to help these businesses, communities along the corridor, and that this amendment will help provide better representation for them, and stakeholders of the plan that will facilitate the comprehension of the complicated and cleaned up plan. So in conclusion, we recommend that commissions today finds that the project is exempt from CEQA, recommend the approval of the proposed ordinance, and adopt the staff report and findings. We thank you for your time, and we're available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. At this point, since the applicant is the city, we are open for public testimony, and I'll begin with in-person speaker cards. Each speaker who has filled out and turned in a speaker card will have 1 minute to speak. Please line up behind the podium as soon as you hear your name called. Please state your name clearly and then proceed with your comments. I'd like to call their two speakers, Lisa Starkin and Kathy Deldonna. Please approach the podium. I believe I'm entitled to 3 minutes. I'm here for the neighborhood council. Okay.
Consider that for the record. I cannot recently come and give you that statement.
Gave what they gave me.
That's okay.
Okay.
So, Commission Vice President Lachey, if you'd like to take the other public comment first, and then we'll give you.
And then we'll allow your
3 minutes. Yeah, you're given 3 minutes. So, we'll take regular public comment, and then we'll take it right after.
So, is Lisa Sarkin?
I am Lisa Sarkin.
Oh, that you are. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what about Ms. Deldonna?
Kathy Deldonna, I'm president of the Plan Review Board. I'm going to make it quick because I have 1 minute. In your packet, you have a letter from us. We are in agreement with the majority of things that the planning recommendations that they had made. We are absolutely, the board is against the recommendation of the number of members of the board. We feel that 13 for two members from each community would better serve Ventura Boulevard. And we're asking you to make this big change, to remove that and put in 13 members, that would one be represented by the city council and the other would be from the local neighborhood council. So we'll give two representatives for each community. Thank you.
You can, Vice President Lachey, you can move into Zoom and then take neighborhood council or?
Okay, are there any speakers on Zoom? Okay, let's proceed with Zoom and then we'll take neighborhood council. Thank you.
Alder Chris, you're up here. Please go ahead. Chris, you don't mute yourself. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Chris Parker. Can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Great, thank you very much. Hello, my name is Chris Parker, and I'm the Chief Executive Officer of Pacific Crest Consultants, which is a permitting and entitlement firm in Los Angeles. We have helped hundreds of clients on the corridor in our 40-plus year history, and currently have more than a dozen clients with businesses or property in the Ventura Boulevard, Cahuenga Boulevard corridor. On behalf of our clients, current and future, I am calling in to urge the commissioners to adopt this amendment as proposed. The streamlining of the sign approval process is the most critical part of the proposed amendment as far as our clients are concerned. As staff has stated, it is currently taking months from submittal to approval of even the most simple sign. And I want to stress this point. An entrepreneur who wants to open a new retail store or a family that wants to honor its ethnic history and open a restaurant along the boulevard has to wait at least 5 months to be able to install a sign announcing their new business. And this is a critical time.
Alder Lisa, you're unmuted, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Lisa Petrus with the Specific Plan Review Board. I'm a member representing Sherman Oaks. And I'd like to touch on the term limits, which I have a problem with. I'm not sure why this has come up at this time, but dealing with the city at each of our meetings every month is difficult because there's such a high turnover of staff. We're never quite sure who's going to be there and who's not going to be there. They're changing jobs and getting promotions, which is all great, but the consistency that we need on the board to keep members there for long periods of time is essential to this running properly. And the seven people that are there now, we, you know, work well together, etc. So the term limits, I think, were voted against with all the members of our board. So we're completely against the term limits. I think that it would hurt the community, and the people who are there now work very hard, show up at all the meetings, and are familiar with what's going on. And sometimes the city doesn't know what's going on because they do change positions frequently. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're ready to proceed to the neighborhood council representative. Lisa Sarkin, I'm here for the Studio City Neighborhood Council, the Plan Review Board. I'm the first vice president, and the Studio City Residents Association. And let me just say what something that Lisa Petrus just said. We have seven members because we have no one from Encino right now. So we normally have nine. And I want to, the amendments were requested by the PRV after a year-long matrix document presented to the planning department. We started this in about 2015 and it was ready in 2007. We recommend that the 13-member board, two from each community, appointed as follows. Six from the neighborhood council offices. There are six neighborhood councils. 6 from the council offices. We only have 2 now, and 1 from the mayor. The specific plan stated that there was to be representation from each community, 2 at the time, and there were either 5 or 6 districts at the time. The Councilmember Kerkorian, the president, he recommended this particular makeup. We've never had any problem whatsoever achieving our quorum from now until I don't even know when. So all of the entities I'm here recommending, we absolutely support 13 members. The identity of each community is supposed to be kept whole. And if there's only 1 person from each one and somebody can't show up, then there's nobody representing them. The term limits, we don't agree with. We think that there's no other board that has any type of responsibilities like the PRB. We have a trust fund that are responsible for all of the money. And it's just different. We need 13 members. We need to have Studio City and Cahuenga Pass separated from all the reports because we have not received a report required by the specific plan for years, telling us what the square footage is everywhere. At our stakeholder meeting in September, we had 28 callers who supported the 13 members. And at our PRB meeting in October, we did not receive the report from planning. We could not make a comment on it with you. We hope that we will be able to do that at our next meeting and have some kind of motion to present to Plum. Thank you very much. I hope you will support what the Plan Review Board has recommended. Thank you.
Thank you.
That I believe is the last speakers.
Cecilia Ramos, for the record, I'd just like to confirm that council office did not reach out stating they would participate on this item.
Great, thank you. Would staff care to address any of the points raised for clarification?
Sorry, pardon the interjection. Cecilia Ramos, for the record. Commission, Vice President Lachey, are you closing public comment?
Oh, yes, at this point I am closing public comment.
Thank you.
Thank you. And would staff like to respond to some of the points raised?
Yeah, sure. This is Courtney Schoenwald again with the City Planning Department. Again, our recommendation is for a 7-member board. For the reasons we stated, we believe a larger board is more difficult to manage, difficult to appoint, and just not necessary for this plan area. We also feel that the 7-member board is really aligned with a lot of the boards that do function currently in the city. So given the precedent followed by those other boards, we feel that 7 members is appropriate. In terms of the term limits, again, we find that the term limits are valuable and a best practice to follow for any board. It would be hard to find people who would want to serve an unspecified amount of time. We do believe that with proper training and good recordation of city actions, it would be easy for a new member to come in and carry on some of the larger infrastructure projects that the board members are concerned about not being followed through on.
Thank you. Commissioners, questions or comments? Commissioner Mack, you raised your
hand. Kind of follow what you were saying about why is it smaller? It's better. You don't understand why that's more equitable for this community of a smaller group.
Brianna Hendley with City Planning. I think just based on our staff research of the department's interaction with similar boards, just from best practices in terms of one of the key requests as part of the council motion was to provide equitable representation and ensuring that every community within the specific plan area, which is currently 6 separate distinct communities, have representation. So that's why it would be 1 appointment per community in addition to the mayoral appointment. So I think it's just in line with how the department administers and works with other boards whether it's a design review board or a historic preservation overlay zone board, and then issues related to with managing a larger board in terms of having a date and a meeting time that works for everyone, and then in order to reach a quorum too. Meeting quorums with a larger board can be more challenging.
So,
Deputy City Attorney, I'm sorry, Commissioner Glenn, will you please speak more closely into the mic?
I don't know. Oh, there it is. I don't think it was on. So, we're all really focused on checking, and recognizing that the system has been inequitable. So, are there best practices? I mean, I don't know if there's best practices given that the system has been inequitable. Like, what equitable best practices are we referencing? My take on this, and I'm thinking about it because I've been writing about representation in Los Angeles and LA County, and the challenge with representation because there are fewer representatives here than probably in most jurisdictions around. So better representation means that you have more board members and less. And so I'm struggling to see how having less members is going to make the situation more equitable. The other challenge that we have in Los Angeles is that, we're dealing with, it's kind of a similar challenge because we're dealing with, just large areas. And so the planning department having a more robust partnership, as I think the community members were referencing, this feels like a very highly responsible entity. And so really thinking of them as a partner as opposed to staff managing the board, which I understand and appreciate the role that staff plays, but it sounds like they take a lot of responsibility for the function of the board. So I don't know that I'm comfortable with this decision being made for the convenience of the staff as opposed to, supporting community members who know they're working on it, they know what the needs are in terms of functioning effectively to do the job. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but I'm just a little uncomfortable with what you're recommending because for those reasons.
Maybe I can of course, my microphone is on really loud. thank you, Commissioner Mack, for this really quick comments, and I appreciate that. There's a lot of ways that we look at equity within a city that's 469 square miles, and part of it is are all the communities getting equal representation? So, for example, when you saw the map up there that showed that they're getting some areas in our city get a lot more representation than others. And this is one that are higher than other parts of the city. They're showing the map in terms of the board sizes here than others. So it wasn't about within this individual community, but it's citywide. And really, I think the city has to ask itself, when you look at where our specific plans are and our representations, if the cities you probably know, it's in our highest resource areas, right? And so we do have the highest amount of local input in our highest resourced areas. And so this is one of the challenges with equity, right? We have large parts of our city. If you were to overlay a map we don't have here, but I would imagine if you would overlay a map of our specific plans and representation from design review boards, you would show a huge disparity when it comes to our highest resourced areas and our lowest resourced areas in terms of the number of representation. And so it's going to be, so part of it is just kind of this looking at a citywide kind of balancing of things and where we are spending our resources as a department. Because where this representation comes where we spend our resources as a department. And we want to spend our resources as a department because they are limited. In those areas, they just have been traditionally overlooked. And so there is somewhat of a rebalancing that occurs when you look at things citywide. But those are really important comments about how you look at something from a standpoint of the numbers. And the question really is too is how would a board function? Like, you know, is how is the most efficient way for a board to function on there in terms of the number of members, in terms of the decisions that are getting made also. So it's just kind of a balance that you're looking at. There's a lot of voices that have been heard as we went through that process, and there's lots and lots of these. This wasn't a decision, a recommendation that came quickly. This is something that's been going through a lot of conversations over many, many years. And I don't know if Sean Bonson has anything to add to that too. So that I directly oversee that.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you. We're getting close here, Sean. Thank you for that. And thank you for those really important comments. And I think we are really engaging the department in looking at equity, in terms of boards and some of our functions. I think a couple of things. One is if we were to revisit the approach of how we designate board members, doing that on a citywide basis might be appropriate as well. I think some of the concern that I might have is doing this for one board and not the others, albeit this is the board that's in front of us. The other thing to consider when you're sort of asking the convenience of staff, and I wouldn't say it's so much the convenience of a 7-member board versus a 13. I think the practicality of the board well functioning and our ability to service that board is also really key. What worries me if a 13-member board or a board that is largely different from the functions and operations of some of the other boards is our ability to deliver that service. And so I'm thinking like 13-member board, if you don't have quorum, what happens when you don't have quorum is the decision ends up being put in the department. And so the community kind of loses a voice altogether. The other consideration is the additional board members, the proposal would be to have them brought in by the neighborhood council. And that is also so different than what we have. Now, all the board members are appointed by mayor or council. And so if you are bringing in neighborhood council representation, that's something to consider. Something to kind of consider from a citywide perspective. It is different than the councils kind of have their own function. They are part of the process, but you're in a way double representative if you're both on the neighborhood council and the board. So that's just a consideration.
So I've missed that, and I have a little bit of my access on the computer, so I didn't quite get to go over that. So in the recommended version, is the council and the mayor who are going to be appointing the folks on the board? Is that what's happening?
Do you want to go through what is current practice and then what the suggestion from the neighboring council is? Or sorry, the board, not the
mayor. So Courtney Shelmall, city planning staff. So I will note that the current specific plan states that 2 members are appointed per council office and then 1 by the mayor. So when the redistricting happened, and this has happened, I think, 4 times, we note this in the staff report, you can look over the history of the shifting of membership of this board. It has gone from 13 to 11 to 9 and now 7. That has been problematic in terms of maintaining representation for the communities because the council offices, as it stands right now, there's only 2 that cover that corridor. And for 17 miles with 6 communities, that is very problematic in allowing for any voice to exist for certain communities when the council office represents, say, 4 communities and they only have 2 appointments. So the proposal that we have is to maintain the council office appointment for those communities and have the mayor still change maintain their corridor-wide appointment. This is different from the neighborhood, the plan review board proposal, which is to have a neighborhood council appoint one person and the city council to appoint one person for each community.
So let me just, so the mayor and the council are basically appointing bodies for the Senate member, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And that, I believe that's correct for almost every board that.
Correct. For consistency for the other boards as well.
So that feels very top down to me. Like, you know, I mean, the whole, there are a couple of comments. And, you know, this is a great opportunity to have a conversation about everything. So, Carol, you both tell me, equity and equality are not. And so, we're not trying to get, I mean, I totally understand the challenge. I mean, that's what we're dealing with in general. We're dealing with Los Angeles. It's just massive size and trying to, you know, really ensure, you know, this opportunity for community engagement and voice with, you know, limited staff resources. I mean, that is our issue in general. That's why we struggle to function as a city, because it's just so big. And this is why I think community citizen engagement is so important, because, you know, they can serve as, you know, when they are engaged in a way that is, you know, allows them to be productive, they can be, I mean, they have to be partners, because there's not enough resources in the city to really serve the city well. But the other issue with equity is that the community voice has to be front and center. And when you have the mayor and the council doing the appointing, it's hard, I think, to really, and, you know, I know that the intention is often probably to have a community voice, but, you know, not everybody is connected to the mayor and council office that might be able to play a great role. So, and I'm not saying the neighborhood councils, sometimes they're a little bit insular as well. So, you know, I like what they're trying to get. To me, what they're proposing is more equitable than having a mayor and council appointed. Because it just, you know, it kind of will tend to have insiders as part of the process, as opposed to, you know, broader representation, broader opportunities for people. And I'm pushing on this issue because I think that if we do really want to get to equity, we have to rethink the way we engage citizens in the process. And I know that you all worked really hard to, and have been thinking about this for a long time, but, you know, the system is so deeply inequitable that, you know, things have to be done differently.
Do we have any other comments from other commissioners or concerns? So, hearing none, I just want to clarify my own understanding. Right now, the plan review boards that exist throughout the city are appointed by the mayor and council office. Is that accurate?
Courtney Shalmall, City Planning Staff. So this plan review board is unique. There is no other in the city. The closest thing that comes to it is the Plan Implementation Board in Warner Center, which is managed by the City Council Office. So I just want to note that for the record. design review boards are appointed by council offices. HPOZ boards have an entirely different process. It just depends on what kind of board you're looking at. So I don't know if that answers your question, but
I think we could look at it broader. This is a design review board. So let's start preservation of ways of board. But compared to, I think we have 13 or 14 design review boards. So I think the question is what's the existing appointment authority versus the proposed, as well as how is this citywide?
Right. And I think it is important. This is the only plan review board in the city versus design review. I just want to get clarity on that.
Freedom to handle it with city planning. So this is the only plan review board, but there are a number of design review boards, and they function similarly in terms of appointments. There are the mayoral appointment, and then also the representative council offices do the appointments.
Okay, and those existing design review boards typically have seven member, and they're appointed by mayor and council. Is that
kind of that's correct?
Okay. I applaud the staff's work, and certainly anything that will make it easier for businesses. And I assume that the reason this particular geography has a plan review board is because of the number of businesses along that corridor. Frankly, I'm in support of the staff's recommendation. The one question I have, which was raised by one of the speakers, is what happens when one of those representatives can't make the meeting? And so that meeting remains unrepresented in a particular meeting. What was your thought on that?
Prima Hanale, city planning. So one aspect of the amendment is having recordation and meeting minutes. So just the idea if a plan review board member is absent, that there would be the meeting recorded in some manner in terms of the discussion would be available for them at the next meeting, or after the meeting that they were unable to make, to be able to have a better understanding of the discussion.
Is that not happening now? Is there no recordation now?
There is informal recordation, so it would just be a more formalized way of, again, having the discussion and items that are before the board available to the public, but then also any members that were in attendance or unable to attend the meeting.
And was there any consideration of an alternate member that could be present on these absences, or that would require three or four alternates?
Prima Henley, city planning. So there was not a discussion of an alternate.
Did you have a point? I was thinking about what Commissioner Matt said, and also the how hard it is to sometimes get a form. I think even in our 9-member body, we often struggle to get a form. And I know it's precedent setting, but I wonder if we can get the spirit of having community members kind of represent who the appointees. Like, is it possible with a 7-member plan review board to have six appointees, be selected by the neighborhood council and one by the mayor? I'm curious, I guess, in the spirit and Commissioner Mack of having a bit more community appointment and political equipment, knowing that we all, even here we serve at the level of the air. But for something like this very unique plan that has a history of different numbers of representation and the challenge of the council district changes and a very involved neighborhood council, set of neighborhood councils here. I'm curious if that is a possibility that doesn't dramatically change the precedent, but gets to the spirit of having community members be more involved in the appointment process and provides a little bit more
I would just thank you. Great question. So one of the things to kind of keep in mind is the fact that versus a neighborhood council, these plan review boards, specific plan design review boards, etc., have very specific land use authority that they're assigned to them versus a neighborhood council. So this is which is laid out in our charter and our municipal code, very specific requirements, which is neighborhood councils particularly usually they study issues, they act as a community voice, and acting as community voice is different than having a very specific approval authority. And so the question would just be is there would have to be a mechanism to ensure that we have people actually getting appointed to these. So I think that how we have it working now, one of the reasons why I think we have mayor and council appointees is because there is an ability to have a greater assurance that appointments will actually occur through a process that's clear and more direct. And you know, this is representation in LA has been through council appointments and mayor appointments. For example, this commission is appointed by mayoral appointees who the goal is to be very representative of the city. And so I would just suggest that may create some challenges in terms of ensuring that we are consistent with all the appointments. I know with our different kind of, board is the historic preservation overlay zone boards, and those sometimes can be really challenging to get appointments on. If you go to our website and look at HPMZs, you will see a list of all the vacancies on the HPMZs. And I was surprised one time when I thought it was actually a list of all the HPMZs, and I was wondering why I couldn't find one, but I realized it was all the vacancies. And that's how many vacancies we have. The list is literally maybe 3/4 of our HPMZs have vacancies. And part of the challenge with that is all the different ways that they're appointed and not having as clear of appointment to it. So there's a balance that we're looking for to get the neighborhood voices, which are so important. That's why it's here. That's what we do in planning, is want to listen to the neighborhood voices, but also understanding that we have a responsibility to like a small business who needs to have the sign put up and to have things up and running, that we can do that in an efficient way. So there's a balance there that we're trying to strike.
Priyanka Henley with City Planning. Just one thing I thought might be helpful to offer is as part of the plan amendment in terms of dealing with plan review board appointments, the new language does provide additional guidance for council office and mayor's office in the spirit of being more inclusive and better representation, of adding some additional guidance related to transit riders, people who have experienced mobility disability, in addition to business owners or residents who live near or on the boulevard. So it's just, again, expanding in terms of looking at future appointments for the board members.
Can I just add another point too? In relationship to the number of board members in addition to the term limits, you know, something that we were looking at when we're looking at term limits is really being able to bring diversity of voices. And while the members that are on the board have been amazingly dedicated for a number of decades in some cases, that is one of the approaches to equity too, is to make sure that we have the good representation, that there's a fair system in process to have people have a chance to have the opportunity to be able to.
Yeah, and I understand that, but you know, I think we have to be realistic about the nature of politics and how things ultimately play out. So, you know, that's the challenge that we're in. You know, given the way we're recommending this being set up. So,
thank you. I think, unless there's pressing comments, I would like to bring the discussion to closure.
Sure, go ahead. I just wanted to say that, you know, I think the staff was very thoughtful in terms of how everything fits together. And certainly while I understand, you know, Commissioner Mack's point about, you know, being equitable and just really raising the bar higher, I think in this particular situation, you know, trying to really write the process, doing a bit, you know, something that's very business friendly, we want to make sure that, you know, we're not getting bogged down. And I think that's just a balance that we have to have here. And certainly in regards to the term for this, when I look at the healthy people, you know, what which is healthy and thriving, it's really the ones where there is turnover, not too much turnover, but that we get few representations. So I do think that turnover is something that, you know, we should have. So if there are no other comments and happenings within the motion, and I understand there are not the points that at least in this particular situation, you know, I would hate for us to undo what the staff is trying to do by making the process a little bit harder, and especially in light of what, you know, twins have talked about with the babies, and just really trying to make that balance work out for this work we're trying to do.
I just want to make a general comment, and you know, and I say this with love and a respect for what the department is doing in terms of equity, but I just want to say that equity work is extremely difficult, and you have to be attentive every step of the way because you know, the systems are so weighted against equity, not just in Los Angeles, but everywhere. And so if we as a city, if we as a department are going to move to equity, we really have to think about, you know, we cannot, you've heard of best practices, because there are no best practices. The system would not be what it is if there were best practices. So we have to create innovation. We have to innovate in order to get to equity. So I put that out there as a challenge for us all to really think in new ways about how to ensure that our city looks different, you know, in 10 years.
Thank you. Well,
yes. Mr. Bold, I'll also just point out that it's also, we're talking about equity, it's also not necessarily beneficial for there to not be some sort of consistency for how this is handled across the city. If it has to remain this way in this one specific corridor, but it's handled completely differently in the rest of the city, then what we'd be saying to leave it as is that there is something unique and special about this, frankly, very high resource area that has to be handled with kid gloves, whereas the rest of the city is not.
So let me just respond. Equity is not equality. Equity is being extremely responsive to the situation. I understand that, you know, this is a well-resourced area, but the approach of, you know, South LA, this is what South LA's needs are. This is what, you know, West LA, this is the needs in East LA. Every, you know, and I recognize that that is a challenge for a department that, you know, only has limited resources, but that is our challenge in Los Angeles, is to be as responsive as possible to each community's needs. That's how you change the reality of, you know, who's better off and who's not, is by being extremely responsive to the local nuances, the local situation.
Thank you. I totally agree with you, Karen, your perspective and our perspective as a commission being forward looking. I think that I do have concerns about a larger board. I share your concerns about equity versus equality, but I also feel like from the comments that we heard from staff and the community that somehow there hasn't been the change of sort of the people involved on this particular board, and it's just kind of gone along. So, you know, I at this point am in support of the staff's recommendation, and I think that, you know, we as commissioners need to be mindful if this goes forward as staff recommended as to what actually happens, because in our pre-meeting when I was asking questions about who is
you know, who's, what were the terms of the people that are currently in place on this board? It was very vague. It seemed like there were no term limits. There was sort of no known definition of who had been on how long, and that's a problem. So, you know, I hear all the voices, Karen. I do truly take your comments to heart, and you know, I think we have to look at these. I also think that Alyssa, the Commissioner Gold, is correct, and there needs to be consistency in one area that the city should not be addressed differently in terms of these boards than another area. And I think that's the other thing that staff is trying to balance. So at this point, if anyone has a motion, yes,
I hear kind of the argument for consistency, and I also agree that a 13-member body is too much. And I wonder if there is a way to kind of honor kind of the spirit of neighborhood representation by actually perhaps inviting the neighborhood council to make a recommendation for a representative for the neighborhood and to get advance notice. Before, there were no like notifications of term limits and which neighborhood is not being represented. So knowing that there's probably support for this proposal, it could be actually an amendment for the staff to actually proactively reach out to the neighborhood council when we know in terms of this, and actually have the neighborhood council go, we recommend this person given the requirements of what it means to represent to be on this plan review board, and actually have that recommendation to the city council or ultimately going to the city council district to make that recommendation. To make the appointment, knowing that in the time that this time review has been around, like there's been all this changing of council districts and like going from different council members, different number of council members, the districts have changed. And I don't think that's a significant change to the process, but I think it does honor that there are very involved neighborhood councils here, and there was previously kind of not a lot of clarity on when terms are up and to have. I would assume for a council member to say like, oh, we have a from the neighborhood council, like a vote from the community that this person would be a great representative. So I suggest that as a friendly amendment to the proposal.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
you. I believe that's you're proposing an amendment to the motion, or is that no or not?
Amendment to perhaps it doesn't change the kind of like who ultimately like the number of seats remain the same. It's just more process. It's a process of just inserting in advance, so that as council members are making the suggestion for appointment, the neighborhood councils actually have a heads up that there's an opening, and perhaps has like 2 months of time to go, hey, we recommend that this person be considered for appointment.
Deputy City Attorney Amy Brothers, yes, that would be an amendment. And the moving party would have to, and the second commissioner would also have to agree, but I think it's like a comment Commissioner learned from planning.
It's just a notification when there's an opening, right? And then we go to the neighborhood council, it seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I mean, I think the HPOZ boards have a similar sort
of. Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense. I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense. Because it's really about, you know, letting everyone know there's an opening and being as open as possible to that. So I think it would enhance the process. It'd be something I think we could do fairly straightforward, add more transparency.
Thank you, Commissioner. So do we have a motion?
Yeah. Commissioner Cho, is that your understanding?
Yeah.
And Commissioner Cabildo?
I just want to make it clear, it's just notification. It's simply notification.
I believe it's a notification of an opening.
Okay, so yeah. It's a notification of opening is unlocated.
Maybe just to clarify, I think the HPOZ boards do have a notification and they provide like a recommendation and name of a person. So maybe if we want additional clarity on if it's just notification that there is an opening for the plan review board and notify the local neighborhood council.
Okay.
So you listed you are saying that just notification not
green.
Is that what you're saying?
I believe that's what I heard from Commissioner Learn, was a notification to the neighborhood councils of the opening so that they have the ability to submit a name to the council office.
And that's what happened.
That's something in a similar manner. Maybe not exactly the same, but in a similar manner.
So that at least there's a broader notification that there is an opening on the plan review board and the neighborhood councils, and then be aware of that as they're in discussion with the council office or the meeting. Is that clear? Commissioner Caruso, are you prepared for that?
Okay.
Sesby?
Yes, no, first and a second.
Great. Cecilia Lamas for the record. Commissioner Cho?
Yes.
Commissioner Camila?
Yes.
Commissioner Gold?
Yes.
Commissioner Learn?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
No.
Commissioner Zamora?
Yes.
Commissioner Vice President Lachey?
Yes.
And the motion carries.
Thank you.